This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome. Baruch Haba and Parshas Lech Lecha. Tonight's shir is sponsored by our good friend, Michael Behar of Surfside, Florida. He's a Meshtativ Kavua in our shirim a number of times a week. And we thank him for sponsoring tonight. Ribbono Shel Olam should be mevarech him and his family with Besuras Toivos, Yeshuas, Nachamos. Hashem should be mashpia on him. Shefa, bracha, v'hatzlacha, ad bias goel tzedek. Okay, so a very interesting subject tonight. Let's see, if you've been coming to the shiurim, you know that probably the most common topic we spoke about was the Tana Rav Meir Balanes. And after that, I like to speak about Malchus Beis David. Actually, I already have some thoughts about that. Perhaps one day we'll write about that subject. But interesting episode. Avram Avinu goes to rescue his nephew Lot. And it seems to be a Herculean task. It seems to be an impossible task. He's going to rescue Lot from the four kings. I mean, the four kings are really the world's superpower. Because the four kings just beat the five kings. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, the allies here. You know, the most powerful force in the universe. They just knocked off five kings. And, you know, Sodom and Amorah were no slouches. And yet the four kings knocked off the five kings. The four kings captured Lot. And Avram Avinu, with, according to Rashi, one man, decided he's going to take on the four kings. So why exactly is Avraham risking his life to save his nephew? Simple pshat, he gave him his word, you come with me and I'll take care of you. But we're going to see there may have been a deeper reason why Avraham Avinu risked his life to rescue his nephew. And we have this little episode which I think is perhaps overlooked in what occurred to Avraham when he rescued his nephew Lot. The pasuk says, "Vayetzei melech Sodom l'krasai." The king of Sodom goes out toward Avraham. Acharei shuva me'akoy, says Kedar la'omer, after Avraham returns from smiting Kedar la'omer, v'samlachim asherita, and the kings that were with him. El emek shaveh, in the valley of shaveh, hu emek hamelech, the valley of the king. Now what in the world is the valley of the king? What do you mean, what king? The valley of which king? So Rashi in his first pshat says it's Risa de Malko, some kind of amphitheater, some kind of stadium. That's where the king would sport. It was, you know, MetLife Stadium. It was Shea Stadium. Olav HaShalom. Yeah, they still have that? No.
Different name.
It was, right, look, hopefully for them, Mishana Mokka, Mishana Mazel. Okay, but be it as it may, that was like a stadium for the king. But then Rashi brings another pshat, an amazing pshat. Medrash Agoda. Emek HaMelech, Emek Shaveh, that was the name of it. It was the Valley of the King. But then Rashi brings the pshat of Medrash Agoda. Emek Shehushvu Sham Kala Umais. It's a valley that all the nations of the world had a consensus that what? V'emlichu es Avraham Aleihem, they proclaimed Avraham to be their king, l'nasiya l'nasiya l'ikim, to be a prince of God u'lekatzin, and a ruler. In other words, all the nations of the world were in agreement, and they proclaimed Abraham as their king, to be a nasi and to be a ruler. So this is very interesting. Did you know that Avraham Avinu was coronated king of the universe? By who? All the nations of the world. In this like little episode over here, where Avram rescues Lot, you might gloss over it, but Avram was actually proclaimed Melech Ha'olam. You know that? In other words, Avram, what do you do for a living? He's a Makarev, he's a Baal Chesed, and he happens to be the king of the world. Who made him the king of the world? All the inhabitants of the world made him the king of the world. Emek Shaveh, Emek HaMelech. Everyone made Abraham their king. The question is, why was Avraham Zoyche to taka be the king of the whole world? Why was he Zoyche to this? It's a pretty big privilege. I mean, they don't say that to me and you. Hey, you're Melech HaOlam. Why do we need to know this? Why does the Torah record this? What is the significance that Avraham was proclaimed Melech Ha'olam? Okay, that's something that I would like to investigate. Now, in the Sefer Zois LeYaakov, of Reb Shmuel Yaakov Bornstein, Gedalia, 3 weeks in a row, he just points out that it should be quite exhilarating and quite remarkable that who in fact is the king of the world? Is it some popularist? Some popularist, some guy, somebody who just tells everybody what they want to hear? Is it somebody who just feeds to public opinion? The last guy in the world that who you would think would be the most popular person in the world should be Avraham Avinu. He's called Avraham Ivri because his views are on one side of the world and everybody else is on the other side of the world. The last guy in the world that you would think would have the unanimous consensus of the world to be Nimlach would be Abraham. And yet, somehow, people deep down, they understand in their heart who really speaks the truth, and they were Mamlech Avram, despite the fact that nobody in the world agreed with his opinion and his perspective. Okay, that's just an interesting point. So again, Avram Avinu, after he redeemed Lot, he's proclaimed king of the universe, and then he rescues Lot, and the story ends happily ever after. And then after the story, Rabbi Yisai, after Avram Avinu rescues Lot, he has a dream. And God comes to Abraham in what is known as the Bris Ben HaBesarim. Now, anybody know how old was Abraham by the Bris Ben HaBesarim?
70.
Now, how's that possible? At the beginning of the Parsha, Abraham Avinu was Shivim Chamei Shanim V'Shivim Shana. The answer is the Bris Ben HaBesarim occurred before Vayomer Hashem El Abraham Lech Lecha. That is the comments of the Malbim. According to the Malbim, the Bris Ben HaBesarim happened before. But it's interesting, at least in the Torah records that Avraham is given the following promise. You ready for this? Look at number 4. V'hifreisi oischa, I'm going to make you fruitful. V'ma'od ma'od, very, very much. Unisaticha l'goyim, I will make you nations. U'melachim imecha yetzeyu. And kings will come from you. What kings came from Abraham? David HaMelech, King David. So isn't it interesting? Not only in the aftermath of saving Lot is Abraham coronated as king of the world, but then God comes to him and he says, I agree, kings are going to come from you. So to me, for the first time in my life, I was reading Lech Lecha, and it seems like the theme of Lech Lecha is Avraham Avinu is given Malchus. First, he goes and he rescues Lot, and the whole world gathers together and is Mamlech Avraham Avinu. Then God Almighty comes to Abraham. He says, Avraham, kings are going to come from you. To me, that's very interesting. So let's analyze for a moment Avraham Avinu and his relationship with Lot, because it seems like, you know, the odd couple over here. Avraham Avinu, he's very careful that his sheep don't graze in the land of Israel, even though Hashem promised it to him. But Avraham Avinu held, it wasn't his yet, the Haknani Oz Ba'aretz, it was still belonged to the Canaanim, yeah? And on the other hand, the Royei Miknei Lot, they're very, they're big lamdanim, and they say, look, eventually it's going to go to Avraham, and we're Avraham's only heir, Avraham doesn't have any children, so eventually we're going to get it, so we're allowed to have it now, and they allowed their sheep to graze in the land of Canaan. So bottom line is, Avraham says to Lot, look, you know, we can't stay together. There's not enough room for the two of us. He says, Haloi chal ha'aretz lefanecha, the whole earth is before you. Hi paredna, may Aloi separate from me. Im hasma'o ve'emina, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. V'im hayamin ve'asmila, and if you go to the right, I'm going to go to the left. Basically, either you pick a direction and I'm going the other way. But the lashon that Avraham Avinu told Lot is, "He pared na me alai. We're going to separate. We're having an acknowledged separation. You go one way, I go the other way." Comes the Shlach HaKadosh, and he says the word "he pared" is a very telling word. There's one other time in Tanakh where we have this word of separation, and that is when Rus tells Nami, "I will never separate from you." Ki hamaves yafrid beini uveinech. Only death will separate between the two of us. Says the Holy Shla, what Avraham was telling Lot is, Lot, hold your horses. Don't be immature over here. You're jumping the gun. You want to take the land of Israel? Why would you take the land of Israel now? You're going to get it soon anyway. You know when you're going to get it? not by our separation, but when two people don't separate. Who won't separate? Rus and Nami. Rus will tell Nami, Ki hamaves yafrid beiniu veinech. Only death will separate between us. So what Avraham Avinu was telling Lloyd is, why take the land now? You're going to get it anyway. It's like when Bnei Yisrael didn't want to schlep the booty out of Mitzrayim because they knew that it would wash ashore. So why schlep? They're going to get it anyway. So Avram says, why, don't pick a fight that's completely unnecessary over here. So the Shlach HaKadosh says that Avram Avinu was well aware who Lot was, who's going to come out of Lot, that David HaMelech was going to come out of Lot, that ultimately the land of Israel is going to belong to Klal Yisrael, and there's no reason to graze on someone else's property if anyway we're going to get it soon. In fact, the Zohar HaKadosh writes, why did Avraham in the first place hang out with Lot? The Avraham Avinu could have hung out with a lot of people. He could have stuck to Chveis, Haran. I guess Haran was dead by now. He was already barbecued in the Orkazdem. Nachar. You know, why is that? What's Avraham's big relationship with Lot? Lot wasn't necessarily the biggest tzaddik. Why is Avraham Avinu so close to Lot? Says the Zohar HaKadosh number 7, V'yas Lot ben Achiv, Ma chama Avraham ledavka imei Lot. What did Abraham see to cling to Lot? Ela begin ditzafa beruach hakodesh. But because Avraham saw beruach hakodesh dezomin lemipek minei David, that David was destined to come out of him. So Avraham Avinu knew he had to save and preserve Lot, not for Lot, but for who is destined to come out of Lot. In fact, the Medrash says, v'gam l'Lot ha'hoylech es Avraham ha'yotzoy nuvakar v'oyalim. When Lot, who went with Avram, had sheep, cattle, and tents. By the way, it doesn't say Avram had tents. It says Avram kaved ma'od ba'kesef ba'bakar uvatzoin. It doesn't say he had oyalim, but it says by Lot he had oyalim. Says the Medrash, what does it mean oyalim? Oyalim refers to ein oyal ela ishtay, two very chashava ladies. Who's that? Who's going to come out of Lot? Rus and Naama. So what the pasuk is saying, Lot had a great lineage to bring out from him. And therefore, Avraham Avinu recognized this, Avraham Avinu knew this, and Avraham Avinu, it would seem very reasonable, risked his life to save Lot, not for the sake of Lot, but rather for the sake of David HaMelech. So I'd like to suggest the following, perhaps novel perspective on Parshas Lech Lecha. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells Avraham, Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu is traveling with Lot. Avraham Avinu knows that ultimately, if he's going to go to the promised land, we need Malchus Beis David. And therefore he has to hold on to Lot at all costs. And if Lot is captured, Avraham is going to risk his life to preserve Lot. Now, we know in life, what comes around goes around. There's a rule, the Medrash tells us, that even though all of God's methods of how he conducts himself no longer exist, there is one method that always exists, and that is mida keneged mida, quid pro quo. Well, you know, whatever you do comes right back at you. Everything in this world has a boomerang effect. It reverberates. It comes back to you. So what's Avraham Avinu doing in this week's parasha? He's trying to save Lot. He's trying to preserve Malchus. He's trying to ensure there's going to be Malchus in Klal Yisrael. And immediately after Avraham Avinu rescues Lot, the whole world gathers together and does what to Avraham? Imam Lech Avraham. Why? Because that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam works. Avraham Avinu, you're trying to preserve Melech Yisrael, you're trying to preserve Malchus. You don't have to wait long until you see, you thought Malchus is coming from some other avenue, some other source. You thought Malchus is coming only mitzad light. No, Avraham. Umelachim mimecha yetzeyo. Malchus is going to come from you. In fact, a minute later, you yourself will be proclaimed Melech Ha'olam. So from here, we see a very important lesson. When the Rambam says, Elu dvarim she'adam oichel perosayim ba'olam hazeh. Why do you get peros in olam hazeh for all of those mitzvahs? Because when you benefit another person, God benefits you in this world. And it happens often rather quickly. Avraham Avinu is trying to preserve Malchus, and immediately after, the whole world gathers together and is Mamlech Avram. Not only does the whole world Mamlech Avram, God comes to Avram. And God says to Avram, by the way, Umelachim Mimcha Yitzeyu, you think you're saving Lot and Malchus Beis David is going to come from him. No, your saving light, kings are going to come from you. It's going to come from you. Think, you know, you're doing me a favor. That favor that you thought you're doing for me is really going to come through your lineage as well. And if, in fact, at the end of the parsha, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Avram the same thing about Sarah. Look at number 20. Uveirachti Yisa, I'm going to bless her. V'gam nasati mimena l'chabein. Uveirachti Yisa, v'hoysa l'goyim, malchei amim mimena you. So you think you're saving light to create malchus? Not only is the malchus going to come through you, it's going to come through her as well. Okay, Marv Rabbeisai, but I want to show one more dimension of this. So the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Avram, he says, V'yescha l'goy gadol, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. Yeah? V'heyei bracha. Now, travel diminishes three things. Travel diminishes procreation, Rashi says. And it diminishes a person's reputation. Because once you move somewhere else, nobody knows you. You got to start all over. And travel diminishes your money. Yeah, pashut. You're thirsty at home, you turn on the tap. Or you have a big bottle of water in the fridge. You're thirsty on the road. You got to take out something from the fridge. It costs $1.99. You don't have cash on you. You go to the ATM. You want to take out $10. You have a $6 international fee, a $7 tax, $5 bank fee, and for $1 of water, you just spend $27, right? That's how it is. Travel diminishes your money. It's always expensive to travel. Anyway, so Hashem promised Avram, don't worry, you travel, you're going to become a great nation, it will not affect your size, I'm going to bless you, it won't affect your finances, V'agal Shmecha won't affect your reputation. But then Rashi brings down the famous comments of Chazal. And that is, Hashem tells Avram, Avram, I want you to travel, and you have a very important mission in this world. You, Avram, will be the conduit through which my Malchus in this world is recognized. You will be representative of my godliness. When people see you, Avraham, they will know there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. And this is evident from the fact that Jews, when they pray Shemoneh Esrei, and they say, they're going to say, Elokei Avraham, that God is not just Ribbono Shel Olam, He's the God of Avraham, because Avraham proclaims God's existence in this world. And not only that, Avraham, it's not only going to be you, but I need you to go on a mission because your whole family will be the conduit of my Malchus. People are going to say, Elokei Yitzchak, and they're going to say, Elokei Yaakov. Comes Tosfos, and Tosfos asks a gevaldig akasha. We know that a bracha has two ingredients. You need to say Hashem's name. Yes, sender! You need to say Hashem's name. And you need to say Malchus. Kol bracha she'eini ma shem, ve'eini ma Malchus, eino bracha. Okay? With one notable exception. There's one exception that there's a very important bracha that you don't have shem and Malchus. And that is Shemoneh Esrei. You say Baruch Ata Hashem, and you don't say Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. You say Elokeinu Melech HaSeinu, okay, Abraham, okay, Yitzhak. Where's the Melech? There's no Melech in Shemoneh Esrei. That's Tosfos' Kasha and Brachas Mem Amud Beis. Frak Tosfos. Yeah, we say Kadosh, but we don't say Melech. So what happened to the Melech? Could be. I'd rather be holy than be a Melech, but. You need to say Melech, you know. So Tosfos says, in the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, there's no Malchus. Why? Because Elokei Avraham is tantamount to Melech. Because since Avraham proclaimed God's sovereignty in the world, and he was Moidiyah, Hashem's Malchus, when you say Elokei Avraham, that's tantamount to saying God is the King of the world. Because the only way the world knew God was the Melech is through Avraham Avinu. So instead of Melech, you say Elokei Avraham. There is just a magnificent chida on this. You ready? Comes out, who shafts Shemoneh Esrei that it's a bracha? Who makes it that Shemoneh Esrei is a bracha? Avraham. Without Elokei Avraham, the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is not a bracha. So it's like this. Elokei Avraham, excuse me, the pasuk says, the Escha L'goy Gadol, I'm going to make you a great people, that's Elokei Avraham. V'avarechecha, I'm going to bless you, they're going to say Elokei Yitzchak. V'agadlo shemecha, I'm going to make your name great. That's Elokei Yaakov. V'heyei baracha, But you should know, Avraham, you're going to make Shmoneh Esrei a bracha. Without you, Shmoneh Esrei is not going to be a bracha. It's because we say, like, hey, Avraham, that the bracha is a bracha. So the vehei bracha is going on Avraham. You're going to make the bracha a bracha. Because without it, like, hey, Avraham, you don't have malchus. You don't have malchus, not a bracha. So the vehei bracha is you, Abraham, you're going to make Shmoneh Esrei a bracha. Rashi learns the Heye Bracha, Yochel, you're going to end with all of them, Talmud Loimar, no, Becha Choisman, that's Rashi's Pshat. Bechida learns, you know, Alom Deshe Pshat, the Heye Bracha, you're, the Elekei Avram is going to shaft Shmoneh Esrei that it should be a Bracha, yeah? That's Shitas Tosfos.
The only place we make Melech Lohelem is that when we make individual Brachas on food and stuff like that.
Avada, you say it.
Yeah, but that's
you say Melech Lohelem.
Yeah, there's no other place.
No other place. No other place. There is one other place. Bracha achas me'in shava. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei Lagadol, Yibaba Noira, Kel Elyon, Kornei Shomayim. No melech over there. So the Tosfos would say, you say Elokei Avraham. Comes the Rosh, and the Rosh disagrees. Says the Holy Rosh. Why do I say the Holy Rosh? You want to hear a chiddush? I can tell you historical chiddush now. No extra charge. The Rosh, the Magid, in the Magid Meisharim, the Magid, the Beis Yosef's angel, told him, Asher Kadishi. Of all the Rishonim, the Rosh is the Holy One. So I was always very interested in that. Why? Because there's an English expression, Holy Toledo. And there's a big machlokes among the scholars. Why is Toledo holy? Either because Toledo has more bate tifla than any other city in the United States. Or Toledo in Spain had more churches than anywhere else in Europe. Or the most accepted pshat is, it's a Lashon Sagi Nahar. There are more bars in Toledo than anywhere else in the United States, and therefore it's called Holy Toledo. But I say, a chiddush, you ready for that? Toledo is where the Rosh lived. And the Rosh, the Magid said, the Rosh was the Kadosh. She's the Holy One. So it's Holy Toledo because of the Rosh. Okay, that's just a little secret.
I think yesterday was his yard site.
The Rosh is yard site?
Yesterday.
Unbelievable siyata d'shmaya. Look, it's the closest Wednesday night. Look, I couldn't make it a Tuesday night share, but we tried. Okay, comes the Rosh. And the Rosh says a different pshat than Tosfos. Because the Rosh finds another bracha that doesn't have malchus, and that is bracha achas me'in sheva, where the bracha doesn't say melech. So the Rosh says, Hakel hakadosh she'in kamayu is like malchus. Says the Rosh, and what about the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei? Says the Rosh, Hakel hagadol is tantamount to malchus. Says the Chida, I heard in the name of the great Tosfos Yom Tov, that the shakla vitaria of the Rosh is merumas and ashrei. How's that? Watch this. B'chol yoyim avor cheka. Excuse me. Aroy mimcha eloikai ha-melech va'avor chashimcha li'oylam. You ready? Aroy mimcha eloikai ha-melech. I praise my God the King. Va'avor chashimcha li'oylam va'ad. And I bless your name forever. So this pasuk is talking about brachas. Aramimcha leikai hamelech va'avorcha. And what's a bracha? Aramimcha leikai hamelech. Malchus. Va'avorcha shimcha. Shame. When I give a bracha, it has to have shame and malchus. Frek David HaMelech in the next line. I b'chol yoyim avorcheka. Every day I bless you. Va'alo shimcha li'aylam va'ad. And I only say your name. And I don't say malchus. What happened? You just said in the first stanza of Ashrei. Aroy mimcha leikai hamelech, malchus. Vavorcha shimcha shem. So how could it be b'chol yom avorcheka, every day I bless you, v'alo shimcha, without malchus? The answer is, gadol Hashem u'muhulam oed. Hakel ha-gadol is in the place of melech. So every day when you say Ashrei, you could chazer over the Rosh. You say, aroy mimcha leikai hamelech, vavorcha shimcha leilam oed. I praise my God, the King. You have to say melech. Shimcha, you have to say shame. Frek the Rosh, ay, b'chol yom avarcheka, v'ahalo shimcha, without melech. And the answer is, gadol Hashem, ulam oed, hakel ha-gadol is in the place of malchus. But Marva Rabbeisai, what we're learning is saying, according to Tosis at least, Elokei Avraham is like saying Hashem is the Melech of the world. Avraham Avinu's existence bespoke that God is the king of the world. When you looked at Avraham, you knew there was a king in this world. So even though in Shemoneh Esrei we don't say Hashem's the king of the world, you say Elokei Avraham, but if you know that Avraham has a God, you know Hashem has a king of the world. So I want to share with you a spectacular approach to Parshas Lech Lecha of the Bas Ayin, Rav Avram Doiv Avarish, Rav Avram Doiv of Avarish. He was a student of the Kedushas Levi, and he was a fiery speaker and a masterful speaker, and many of his drashos were written down when he was very young, and then he moved to the city of Tzfas. And if you go to his shul today, there's a miracle happened in his shul where there was an earthquake, and during the earthquake he gathered everybody under the dome, and whoever was with him was saved right by the Aron, and you could go to his shul, and there's a plaque on his shul where this miracle happened. I had this chus to speak in his shul and to be at his kever. He's buried right next to the Arvei Nachal, the Levushei Srad. We quoted the Arvei Nachal in Parshas Bereishis. So him, Rav David Ivshitz, and Rav Avraham Doiv of Avarish are buried right next to each other. And he explains a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says, until Avraham came to the scene, nobody called God Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yod, Adoy, and then Noi, until Avraham said Hashem's name. Hashem called Avraham Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yod. Now, what does the name Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yod connote? What does it refer to?
Malchus.
Malchus. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yod is the Sphira of Malchus, the Midah of Malchus, Hashem as Melech of the world. That is the Midah of Malchus. Now, I want to bring to your attention another interesting thing. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Avraham is always traveling what direction? The Avraham, Halech V'Nasoya, Hanegba. Why do Jews go to Miami? Maaseh Avos, Siman Labanim. Because Avraham Avinu, it never says in the whole Torah, he went Safayna. He never went Mizracha. He never went Marava. He's always going south. I was stunned. I was Mavr Sedra this year. I'm up to whatever, middle of the Parsha. I'm telling you, I'm learning it now, Lech Lecha. It's Ke'ilu, I never learned Lech Lecha before, which is a good thing. I past years, when I tried to learn the Parsha, it was like I learned it before. If you think you learned it before, you can't learn anything. You have to, it has to be Ke'ilu, you never. Here's my Kasha. Avraham Avinu is going to Mitzrayim. He went to Mitzrayim. Yeah? He's going to Mitzrayim. He's coming back to Eretz Yisrael. What direction would you say Avraham's going? North, no. He's going Negba. Well, he's going to North Africa? Where does he go? No, Rashi says he's going to the south of Eretz Yisrael. So tell me he's going north. He's not going. Avraham Avinu always goes south. Now, one of the reasons for that, we once saw in the Sefer of Rabbi Shua Heller that south is your right side. Because if a person's facing Mizrach, yeah, then your right side is Daraim, right? Mizrach, Marav, Tzafa, and Daraim. So facing Mizrach, your right side is the south. Right is Midas HaChesed. So since Avraham Avinu is Midas HaChesed, the south side is always attributed to Midas HaChesed. And L'chaira, Avraham Avinu was pursuing Chachma. But this is something we have to pursue. Why is the Torah focused again and again and again? Avraham is always going south. He's always going Negba, HaNegba. So says Rav Avram Doiv of Avarish, if Avraham Avinu was the inventor of the fact that Hashem is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, that means he was the one who is really Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this fits beautifully into the way we're saying that Elokei Avraham is tantamount to the fact that that Hashem is the Melech, because that was the message of Avraham. Now he says an amazing thing. We know that Goy Sheshavas is Chayv Misa. A Gentile that keeps Shabbos is Chayv Misa. So, we explained many times, and obviously I'm going to make a commercial for the new Sefer. So if you want to get the new Sefer, go to Torah Anytime. Go to the speakers. There's a link. And you can order the Sefer. But the Chida always says that the reason why Goyish Shabbos is Chayiv Misa is because Shabbos is the scepter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So only the children of the king could take his scepter. The subjects of the king cannot take his scepter. But Avram Doiv of Avrish has a different approach to this. He says, to be a king, let's say I walk in one day and I tell you, you know, hey, did you hear? I got a new job. Really? What are you doing? I became a king. Where's your malchus? I said, I bought an ant farm and I'm the melech of the ants. He said, you know, you've lost it. You can't be the melech of ants. You can't be a melech over ants. You can only be a melech. Malchus is only possible if there's a commonality and a similarity between the king and the subjects, and the king is misnase above the subjects. But you can't be a king of ants. Or if somebody came in and said, you know, they bought 50 squirrels or raccoons or mosquitoes, or you get the picture. A shepherd of sheep cannot be a melech over his sheep. Malchus requires a commonality, and the melech is misnase above his subjects. But you can't be a melech over a behema. Likewise, says the Basayan, how could Hashem be a melech over a basar v'dam? There's certainly a larger gap between a basar v'dam and an ant than between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a basar v'dam. So in what way is Hashem a melech? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be miyached his malchus on Klal Yisrael. God is, even though we always said Hashem is the melech to the goyim, no. Not only is he not the av to the goyim, he's not even the melech of the goyim. Ki Lashem HaMelucha U'Moshel Bagayim. You could dominate, Anna, you could be a Moshel of your sheep, of your ants, of your raccoons, of your squirrels, but you can't be a Melech over them. God is not a Melech over the Umay Sa'ilam, but He's a Melech of Klal Yisrael. Koyamar Hashem Melech Yisrael V'Goyalam. God is the Melech Yisrael. You know why? You know the Gemara Nivam. It was just whose yard site? The Rosh I didn't know about, but I did know it was Rameir Shapiro's yard site. You know the famous the Bayless trial. One of the big accusations against Bayless was the Gemara Nivamis that says, "Atem kruim Adam ve'ein oivdikachavim kruim Adam." A Jew is called Adam, a Gentile is not called Adam. So they said, "Look, you see, the Jews don't consider Gentiles Adam. They must have slaughtered them to put their blood in the matzah." And Rameir Shapiro actually sent a famous response to the attorney. Maza, that's the story. Okay, but what does it mean that a Jew is called Adam and Oivdei Kechavim are not called Adam? There's an amazing Rama Mipano. Even though the word Adam denotes that we come from the earth, Adama, but that's if on the low level. On the higher level, the word Adam means Adame Le'elyoin. I'm comparable to the One on High. Mahu Afata. A Jew has a certain similarity and commonality to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're children of Hashem. Our neshama is a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are called Adam in that we're similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in two ways. Number one, we're more stripped from Gashmias. We're not as attached to Gashmias. And in that sense, we're similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number two, we're similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we follow the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We walk in the ways of Hashem. The only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be a melech is on Klal Yisrael. You know why on Klal Yisrael? Because we're similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're Adam. We're Adam Mele Elyon. And since we have a commonality between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is similar to us, but He is misnase over us. He's not a melech over the goyim, but He's a melech over us. Who introduced this concept to the world that you could be so stripped from Gashmias, you could emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then in that sense we have a commonality to Hashem, and then Hashem could be our Melech? Avram Avinu brought to the world the concept that Hashem could be a Melech to Basar Vadam. He's not like being a Melech to an ant farm. He's being a melech to someone who he's similar to, namely Klal Yisrael. When he jumped in the fire at Or Kasdim and he gave up all physical existence, Avraham Avinu demonstrated that a human being could strip himself from Gashmias. When Avraham Avinu dedicated his life to Chesed and emulates the ways of Hashem, he's now Adam Le'Elyon. Once Avraham is Adam Le'Elyon, God is now eligible to be our king. Before Avraham came to the world, Basar Vadam was Basar, 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 Basar. Marv Rabbeisai, you ready for this chiddush? A wondrous chiddush. I'm going to string in something from the Sefer Lemavuche Ha'uma of Rabbi Avigdor Amiel. He says something wondrous. You know, until Avraham Avinu comes to the scene, what is mankind called? Anybody know? Oh, Kate's called Basar Balifanai. Kihishchis called Basar. Until Avraham Avinu came to the scene, God can't be a king. You know why? Because you know what man is? Man is Basar. Kihishchis called Basar. Kate's called Basar. You know what marriage is? Etzem me'atzamai Basar mi Basari. Marriage is the union of the flesh. We're animals. We're animals. God can't be our king. God can be our Moshe. He can't be our Melech. Avraham Avinu comes to the scene. V'yes ha-basar asher asu b'charon. V'yes ha-nefesh asher asu b'charon. Avraham Avinu changed the essence of man. That man was elevated. Man can strip himself from his physicality. Man could be Adam Adam le'elyon. Avraham Avinu revolutionized marriage. Until Avraham Avinu came to the scene, you know what marriage was? Marriage was the union of the bodies. Avraham Avinu says to Sarah, V'choysa nafshi biglalech. Avraham Avinu says, no, they misunderstood marriage. Marriage is not the union of two bodies. Marriage is the union of two souls. Avraham elevated the entire essence of man. We're Adam, Adam el Elyon. We're not Basar, we're Nefesh. Once we're Nefesh, God could be our Melech. Until then, God was the Moshel of the world. Avraham Avinu introduced that Hashem is Adon to the world. And therefore, by the way, Avraham Avinu allows Yisrael to be Mekabel Shabbos. This is an interesting idea. Because Shabbos is when we strip ourselves from our physicality. We make believe all our work is done, and it's like we have no physical work to do. We're acting like God. Now, imagine like this. You know, they have these spoofs of the debate. So you have some Letz who dresses up like Donald Ben Fred, right? And you have Donald John Ben Fred, right? And you have another Meshugana who dresses up like, I forget his name, what's his name, right? So anyway, so it's Mamisha Galechter. If somebody would do that in Saudi Arabia or North Korea, they would be disintegrated. They would their ashes would be scattered on the seven seas. It's a bizoyon to mimic the Melech. You can't mimic the Melech. So to keep Shabbos, you're going to have a basar keep Shabbos. That's a bad joke. You can't work for 6 days and rest on the seventh day. Were you going to put on a god costume and mimic Melech Machi Amlachim? So Goyshe Shabbos, he's Moired B'Malchus. So how do we keep Shabbos? We keep Shabbos because Avraham Avinu brought to the world the concept that we're Adam, Adam Le'Elyon. We have the capacity to strip ourselves of our physical characteristics. And therefore, what day of the week is God recognized as Melech? Yismechu B'malchuscha. That's why on Shabbos, when we strip ourselves of our attachment to Gashmius, then we're not a basar, we're a nefesh. So God is, his malchus is recognized. And Avraham Avinu brought this to the world, says the Basayin, when he threw himself into Or Kasdim, and he was mespashed his Gashmius, and he followed the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So comes the Basayin, and he reads the Pasuk incredibly. Vayoymer Hashem el Avraham. Hey Avraham, you just jumped into the fire. You're not a basar. You're a nefesh. You could be mamlech me. You know how you can be mamlech me? You could be similar to me. Lech, go, licha. Licha means lechaf, to the kaf. The kaf is the kaf hadimyain. Avraham, you know what your mission is? Lech, go, lechaf. You go and try to capture the message of the Kaf HaDimyon, the kaf that allows you to emulate me. Kaf means like, right? You know the Yankel Miller line, you know, kaf. You know, there's a light and there's ka'ar, like light. There's a kaf means just about. There's gadol and kigadol, like, and then there's a guy, his wife is razy, but if she's not, she's kirazy, and then he's in a big trouble, right? No, you didn't get that. Okay. Anyway, lech go licha to the kaf hadimyoin. Your ambition, your focus, your mission in this world is lechaf hadimyoin, to be similar to me in order to be mamlich me. El haaretz, to the land, asher areka. What's the gematria of areka? Aleph resh, aleph chaf. Now we know aleph is 1, resh is 200, aleph is 1. We're up to 202. What's the numerical value of the final chaf? We would say 20. But we know that the Menatzbach letters, kuf is 100, resh is 200, shin is 300, taf is 400, final chaf is 500, final mem is 600, final nun is 700. So areka is 702. Shabbos. Ela'aretz ha'shareka. Go to the kaf hadimyoin. You have the capacity to emulate me, to be similar to me. And if you're similar to me, then you could be mamlich me. I want to read, that's the hemshech of the pasuk. Lech lecha. Go and try to capture the kaf hadimyoin. Be similar to me. Ela'aretz ha'shareka. And you know what you'll be able to do if you become similar to me? If you recognize me, when you're similar to me, v'escha l'goy gadol, then the Jewish people are going to say Elokei Avram. And if they say Elokei Avram, v'heyei bracha, that will be mamlech me. Because if you're Adam me'ele Elyon and you're similar to me, then you could be mamlech me. Just the mere mention of Elokei Avram is tantamount to malchus. Now watch this. So we like to suggest the mission of Lech Lecha, the mission statement is God tells Avraham, your job in this world is, I don't want mankind to be nefesh anymore, basar anymore, I want them to be nefesh. And if they're nefesh, and they have a similarity to me, that will be mamlech me. So the whole parashas Lech Lecha, Amravinu is trying to be mamlech Hashem. He says, God is aleph, dalet, nun, yud. So I would say that there's one small ingredient missing in Avraham, that he's not similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that would diminish the Malchus Shamayim. And that is, who in this world is the one who is the conduit of Malchus Shamayim in this world? Who represents Malchus Shamayim? The Malchus based David. That's why David HaMelech is the fourth regel of the Kisei HaKavod. Avraham, you want to make Hashem the Melech because you're going to say mankind is nefesh and there's a commonality between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. But it's not like we're kings and Hashem is the king of kings. Don't we need that similarity? Wouldn't it be the most compelling way to be Mamlech Hashem that if even a Melech recognize Hashem's superiority, that would be the ultimate symbol of God as Melech HaOlam. So Hashem says, Lech Lecha, you could be so similar to me that you're going to be a king in this parsha. You know how you're going to be Mamlech me? The whole world is going to gather together and say, you know what about Avraham? Avraham's the king of the world. And then Avraham is going to say, no. I'm not a Melech. Because I recognize Ribbono Shel, that Avraham is going to have the availability and possibility to have such commonality between him and the Ribbono Shel, ad kedei kach, that not only is he stripping himself of his physicality and emulating the ways of Hashem, he himself is a melech of the world, and he's still menaseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the greatest Kabbalah Asol Malchus Shamayim. So Hashem says, look, the whole world is mamlech you, and I'm telling you that kings are going to come from you. And I'm telling Sarah, kings are going to come from her. And even though Malchus is coming from you, and we're saying it's Mida Keneged Mida, because Avram rescued Lot and he preserved Malchus, and you're being Mamlech me, the words Elokei Avraham forever embody the ideal that Hashem is Melech HaOlam. Now, one last thing. It's sort of a side point. It's literally one of the most ennobling things I've ever heard. I said this over in the yeshiva, Shavei Chevron, overlooking the Maras HaMachpelah and the whole city of Chevron. This is one of the most magnificent thoughts I ever saw. There's a sefer, Neflois Mitairas Hashem Yisbarach. Honestly, I never heard of it. The only time I ever heard of it is in, I once read an article where they were interviewing Aaron Cutler, CEO. And he said he used to do Kiruv, and this was his go-to sefer. That was the first time I heard of this, of the sefer. And then I sort of, Moshe Wolfson quoted it. And the sefer is based on the following principle. I once even said it in a shir, but in this context, it's just off the charts. God in this week's parasha comes to Abraham. He says, Abraham, u'melachim mimecha yetzeyu. Not only will kings come from you, and he says, number 20, u'beirachti oisa, you kings will come from Sarah. Okay? So Avinu gets a good word, good report. Abraham, kings will come from you. Sarah, kings will come from you. Who are the kings? Who is the greatest king of Israel? David. So Avraham Avinu, this week's parasha, Avraham Avinu thought he's saving Lot to save David. Hashem says, no, David's coming from you also. Does anybody know where was Abraham located at the time that Hashem said to Abraham, kings are going to come from you? So you have to read the parsha carefully, because in the opening parsha, Vayavar Avraham Ba'aretz, Ad Mekoyim Shechem. First he goes to Shechem, which boggles the mind. Avraham Avinu never stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael. The first place he goes is, he has to daven in Shechem. Nablus, you know? Then he goes to Ai, to daven for Achan. You know, tonight's the Rachel Imenu's yard site. I would have gone, he should have gone to Kever Rachel, the Kaisel, no. First he goes to Shechem, and then he goes to Ai, the most like notorious place. That's interesting to me. Then, right before Lloyd is captured, check this out, the Pasuk says in number 17, Vayel Avram, Vayavai, Vayesha, Beiloi Neimamre, Asher B'Chevron. He's in Chevron. Then Lloyd is captured. And then, L'chaira, Avram doesn't say he went anywhere else. He must have gone back to Chevron. So where did God say, kings are, David will come from you? Chevron. Says the Sefer Neflois Mitaras Hashem. Where was David coronated by the Malchei Yehuda, by the tribe of Yehuda? Look at number 18. Va'anoshim asher imo in Shmuel hela David Yeshu Beisa. The men that were with him brought him up. Va'yeshu v'bavri Chevron. They went to Chevron. Oh, they're in Chevron. Va'yvan Yehuda yimshchu shem as David Melech. The Shevet Yehuda is Mamlech David. Fine. What about the other 10 tribes? Look at number 21, a few prakim later. Vayavayu kol shifte Yisrael David Chevrona. All of Israel comes to Chevron. And what do they do there? Pasuk Gimel vayim shechuz David. They anoint David. We're Chevron. Was it coincidence that David was anointed in Chevron? No. Because, by the way, look at number 22. David had asked God, God, where should I go when they anoint me? God says Chevron. God says in the Neflois Mitaras Hashem, you think it's a coincidence? Avraham was in so many locations in Eretz Yisrael. He was in Shechem, he was in Ai, he was in Beersheba, he was north, he was south. God could have told him in any one of these places, you're going to have David, you're going to have David, you're going to have David, you're going to have David. He Dafka told him in Chevron. You know why? There's a principle in Nevuah that when God says Nevuah, He's talking not only to the Navi, He's talking to the stones, He's talking to the sticks, He's talking to the air, He's talking to the earth. And He's saying, David will come to you, so you sticks and stones, I want you to bear witness that in exactly 837 years, in this very spot, this prophecy will come to fruition. Because when God speaks prophecy in a location, it's not happenstance, it then comes back to be fulfilled in that very makom. So since God, you know why God told Abraham, kings are going to come to you? You know why he said it to him in Chevron? Listen to the Flores Mitaras Hashem. When God tells a Navi in Chevron, kings are going to come for you, it's as if he said, Avraham, kings are going to come from you in this spot. And there are many, many examples of this in the Torah, that the Nevuah that's spoken in a spot comes to fruition in that very spot. Chevron then is the city of kings. When was Avraham Avinu, when did he travel to Chevron? Parshas Lech Lecha. Parshas Lech Lecha is the city of Malchus. Why is it the city of Malchus? Because Avraham Avinu's mission in this world is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And who else is Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu? David. David is the regal Revi of the Kisei HaKavod. In order to be Mamlech Hashem, Hashem has to have a commonality with us. That commonality is we're Adam El Elyon, the greatest Adam El Elyon. Why is David HaMelech the one that projects Hashem's Malchus to the world? Because it takes one to know one. Only an Adam, that's Adam El Elyon, who's Mamish HaMelech, could project the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the city of Chevron. By the way, we could say as follows. When they were Mamlech Avraham Avinu, what city did they do that in? When the whole world got together to be Mamlech Avraham, that happened in Sodom. It says, Vayetze Melech Sodom Lekrosam. Sodom is where David was also pulled out from. So Sodom also is a city of Malchus. But what we're saying is, according to the Bas Ayin, that Hashem tells Avraham, if in order for you to be Mamlech me, in order for you to bring to the world the concept that I'm Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that I'm the Melech HaOlam, there has to be a commonality between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is accomplished by being Mufshut from Gashmius, by emulating the ways of Hashem, and also by Avraham being recognized as a melech, and even so, he is Menaseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the strongest commonality, and because of that, and through that, Elokei Avraham is tantamount. The essence of Avraham, being similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every sense, just saying those words is tantamount to saying Hashem is the melech of the world. Rabbi Isai, have a great evening. Shkayach. Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.